Scripture reading this morning will be Mark 8, 34 through 38. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
Good morning. So my dad used to say to me, "If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right." And I have a Prezi that goes along with this that I'll be showing you in just a minute. Amber, do you need help back there? Or are you good? Jeff, could you go help Amber? Jeff used to always say to Amber, I don't know what he used to say. But anyway, you're going to see a picture in a minute that you're going to think is me. There it is. And it's not me. The expression is me, but that's not actually me. This is me the night before my science project was due. And as we now say, I was done. We didn't have that expression then, but the way we say it now is I was done. Science project wasn't going well. Who, can I have a show of hands? Who really cares about osmosis? Does anybody care? See? I don't know why I was doing that. Okay, I saw a couple of hands there. But, you know, I didn't care. And that's when my dad, one of the times I remember distinctly, him telling me, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And it didn't take on science projects. It didn't take on car repairs. It didn't take on anything handyman. But eventually it took. And I learned that if something is worth doing, it's worth doing right. And it's probably going to cost something. Today, it seems like more than previously. I don't know if it's more than previously, but it seems like more than previously. People want to be great and do something great without paying their dues. They don't want to take the hard road. They want to take the easy road. They want to play like LeBron but eat like Elvis. That's what people want to do today. We want to take the short, easy method to getting to where we want to go. And I just don't think that's going to happen. Not only do you need to do things right, it's going to cost you something to be able to do it right. The old saying is, after all is said and done, a whole lot more is said than done. It's easy to talk about all the great things that we want to do as people or as a church, but what are we going to do with that? So I have good news. Today is the last sermon on the vision. We've been hitting this really hard, running the risk of overdoing it because we really, really want everybody to understand it and embrace it. This is the last one. Two more weeks in Bible class, but last sermon. And next week we'll go on to go back to Mark after many months away from that. But before we leave the vision, I want to raise the question of whether it's going to be just talk or whether we're going to do anything, whether we're going to do anything different. I think I mentioned it was trendy 20 or 30 years ago to have a vision. We are not having a vision because it's trendy. We are having a vision as a leadership tool to say, this is what our leaders believe this church should be about. And now it's time to ask the question of whether that's going to be just rhetoric and talk or whether we're going to actually do something. I've been here 26 years, and if you calculate how I've spent my time, one full year has been spent in meetings about visions. I've been a part of the Making and Maturing Disciples of Jesus vision that was in place when I got here. I've been a part of three other visions along the way, and we have met long and hard, and we have talked and talked and talked. And then we talked some more and talked and talked. And you kind of have to do that to get everybody together, but at some point, you got to stop talking and start doing something. And I want to ask the question today of what is it going to take for the vision to become a reality? As Brandon mentioned, we want to be a church that develops disciples of Jesus. What's it going to take for us to be able to do that? If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And it's going to cost us something to be able to do it. And so in this passage that Jimmy read back there at the sound booth where he's running sound, Jesus gives us some insight. I'd like you to look at this in Mark 8 because I want to point out a couple of things in this passage. We talked about it a few months ago in our study of Jesus from Mark, but this gives us some good insight for our individual lives and also for the church as we seek to develop disciples of Jesus. In verse 34, he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves." Doing something worthwhile will cost something. Sacrifice will be needed. Deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. We won't be able to follow Jesus as his disciples unless we're willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And I think the key to understanding this is the word life, which can have two meanings, and you may have a footnote that says this, but our life can mean our life, or it can mean our soul. And I think what Jesus is saying is that if your focus is on saving your life or preserving your life or creating a great life for yourself, then you will lose your soul. But in contrast to that, if you're willing to forfeit your life, then you will save your soul. And I had that little phrase in there about make a great life for yourself based on verse 36 where he says, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" And so there's kind of two pathways. The pathway of gaining the world, gaining a great life in the world, or forfeiting that for him and for the gospel. And notice specifically as you think about church vision in verse 35 that we are to lose our life for me and for the gospel. For me, Jesus, the one we are to be devoted to, and for the gospel, which is paramount in making disciples. And so our choice is to either live for ourselves and try to get a great life for ourselves, or to forfeit that for him and for the gospel. And I think what is true for us as individuals is also true for us as a church. That if we want to have life as a congregation, we are going to have to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, give up our lives, sacrifice for the sake of him and the sake of the gospel. You've got to give it to get it. You've got to give your life to get life. And I think you've got to give your life to even get it in your head, much less experience it. And so I think maybe the number one key to the reality of our vision is sacrifice, self-denial, and sacrifice. I want to talk about three areas where I think sacrifice and self-denial are going to be needed if our vision of developing disciples is going to become reality. And the first one is we're going to have to sacrifice our kingdom and our agenda. Now, I'm guessing that most of us don't want to gain the whole world. We'd be satisfied with just a little kingdom. But I've noticed that when you get a little kingdom, you want just a little bit bigger kingdom. And you want a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. I've noticed that in myself as well as others. I think that's human nature. The self is not satisfied. We want more and more and more. Most of the things we want are not wrong. Now, some things are wrong, and they've got to be given up. Our sin has to be set aside. If we want the vision to become reality, we're going to have to throw off the sin that so easily entangles us and hinders us. But most of the things that we want are not really wrong in themselves. They're just things that become wrong when they become too important to us, when they become idols to us. Our houses are like that. Our cars are like that. Our families are like that. Family is not wrong. I just did grandparent time this weekend, and it was great. I think that's a good and important thing. But if it becomes too important, it does become wrong. And if our travel becomes too important, it does become wrong. If our job becomes too important, it does become wrong. There are so many things that are not wrong in and of themselves, and that we want to create our own little kingdom out of, that become wrong when they become our priority. And when they do, we've got to either drop them or cut back on them significantly if we want to have life, if we want to be a church that develops disciples. I think the same thing is true with our church agenda. Almost everybody I know in this church has some kind of agenda for this church. They want us to be a little bit more like this or a little bit more like that. Even in the worship service, and y'all let me know if I start to sound like I'm complaining, because I complain about this sometimes. But in the worship service, some people want more singing. Some people want more prayer. Some people want more scripture. One person even wants more preaching. They're my best friend in the whole church. Some people want us to get out right on time. Some people want us to not worry about what time we get out. Everybody's got this agenda for our church. And lots of folks have an agenda of the kind of church they think we should be. We should be more progressive and cutting edge. We should be more faithful to the old past. Or we should be addressing this issue. Or we should be addressing this. Everybody's got those things. And a lot of those are legitimate. Some of them are not. But you may have noticed a church can't do everything. There's a truckload of things a church could do that would be right. But we can't do everything. And I want to make sure it's clear to you that the elders, by announcing that our vision is to develop disciples, they're saying that's what they want us to be about. They believe that will be pleasing to God. And we can't be a church that does everything, so let's do this. And because of that, a lot of us are going to have to lower or abandon our own agenda for the church. Now, some of those things are not contradictory. Great example of that is our former vision was to love like Jesus. Well, disciples of Jesus do love like Jesus. So we don't have to get rid of that. But we do have to put the focus on developing disciples if that's the kind of church that we're going to be. And so I want to encourage you to wrestle with how you're doing with your own kingdom and your own agenda and see if you believe there's anything that needs to be given up or lowered in priority for the sake of this vision becoming reality. Another area where we are going to need to sacrifice is complaining and comfort. Man, I don't know what it is about us, but we are just a complaining society. I think a lot of it is we think we know better than everybody else. Now, in theory, we don't. But in practical situations, we do. We think we know better how other people ought to live their lives and do their ministries and lead the church. And when they don't do that, we complain. I believe the church, everybody in the church, every leader, every minister, every ministry leader needs input from other people. But the people who give the input need to leave it with the people who have been charged with that responsibility and pray for them and encourage them and let them decide what's going to happen and then not complain about that. Give your input, give your advice, but then give your support. I've only been a minister for 38 years. Sorry, something's in my eye. Only been a minister for 38 years, but I'm already starting to figure out that when you change something, sometimes people complain about it. I'm pretty sharp. Only took me 38 years to figure that out. And let me tell you, there's going to be some change. We already took some signs off the wall. Okay? And we're probably going to put some new ones on. And we're going to have some change of emphasis. We're going to have some change of focus. Developing disciples has just been raised in importance as how we make our decisions about things. There's going to be some changes in the way we do our classes. There's going to be some changes in the themes that we emphasize. There's going to be some changes in how we do membership. And if you're not careful, that's going to bug you and you're going to complain. I just want you to know that that hinders the vision. Now, our leaders will listen to you. Sometimes, should I say this? I'm committed. Sometimes I feel like they listen to complainers more than they should. But that's why they're shepherds and I'm not, probably. They'll listen to you and they will try to hear what you're saying. But just know that when you're complaining, you are pulling them away from the vision to hear your complaint. And there's a fine line there. You do want to listen to what people have to say and you do want to listen to their input. But if you're just going to complain, not only is that wrong, but it also hinders the vision. We've got to be ready to give up our complaining. Gail and I have been watching Designated Survivor. Anybody watch that? It's a TV show that this guy's the housing secretary. And one night on the State of the Union address, he's the designated survivor. You don't show up where they're doing the State of the Union address. You go somewhere and be safe in case something catastrophic happens. You're the designated survivor. And sure enough, they blow up the Capitol and the president dies. The entire cabinet dies. All of Congress dies. And the designated survivor jumps up 13 slots and becomes the president. And he's trying to pull the country together. And I've just been amazed. You know, it's a show. It's fiction. But in the show, they have people nipping at his heels from the very beginning. Opportunists, people trying to get something done that they want done. People trying to take him down. People trying to take over. And I'm thinking, give the guy a chance. He's trying to pull the country together. And I feel like as we approach this new vision, it's going to take us a while to get some bugs worked out. We're doing some things differently, and there will be some changes. And I want to encourage you to give the leadership a chance to get those things worked out. And watch your heart and make sure that you don't get sucked into complaining. Also, comfort has to be given up. And I can think of two primary areas where that's the case. One is we are all developing as disciples, right? That's what this vision is. It's a call for all of us to give up our comfort and continue to develop as disciples. We've been using the figure of a caravan. We're marching together as a big caravan, and we're headed toward becoming like Jesus. Some people are kind of just starting on the journey, and some are a little further along, and some are pretty far along, but we're all supposed to be moving. Nobody is supposed to be camped out. We're not supposed to be comfortable Christians. And so if you've pitched your tent overnight and decided to stay a second night, and then decided to put up a couple of permanent walls and plant some flowers, you may need to uproot and keep on walking to become like Jesus. Keep growing in your devotion to Him. Keep discovering Him. Keep deciding to follow Him. Keep developing as a disciple, even if that gets you out of your comfort zone. I don't think we can follow Jesus and have comfort as a priority. Another way that we get out of our comfort zone is when we start thinking about other people in the caravan. Maybe you're a little further along in the caravan. You are going to be called to go back to the beginning and walk with some people that are just getting started and help them discover Jesus. People are going to show up here on Sundays, and you're going to meet them, and you're going to chat with them a little bit, and they're going to say, "Tell me about your church," and you're going to bite your tongue so hard because you're going to want to complain about something, but you've already learned that you don't do that, and so you're going to want to emphasize the thing about the church that you really think is neat and cool, and you're allowed to do that, but don't forget to tell them what we're trying to be about. Don't forget to share with them our vision. We're trying to develop disciples of Jesus. We're trying to encourage each other and help each other to keep moving and becoming more and more like Him. To engage people like that and talk to them about what the church is about will probably get some of us out of our comfort zone. But if we want the vision to become reality, we got to sacrifice our complaining and our comfort. A third thing that we're going to need to sacrifice is our pride and our control. We must resist at all costs thinking we can do this by ourselves. It's not because of our great planning and organization and ingenuity that this vision will be realized. It will be because of the working and power and blessing of God. God is the one who calls people and draws people and convicts people. God is the one who saves people and adds people and indwells people. God is the one who matures people and develops people and sanctifies people. We've got to make sure we trust Him. We've got to sacrifice any pride we have where we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, or any control we have where we think we can make this thing work out because we're so smart or dedicated. We need to trust God and express that trust in scores of times of praying that He will work through us and among us. God has chosen to work through human beings. It's a cooperative effort, but we must make sure we never approach it in such a way that will make God want to work around us instead of working through us. We need to humble ourselves and give up our pride and give up our control and trust Him. I'm sure there are a lot of other things that we need to sacrifice as well, and I'm sure there are other keys to the success of the vision, but it seems to me that over and over again, self-denial, sacrifice, forfeiting our lives is what is needed for life to come for this congregation. I want to ask Richard, who is our shepherd today, to be sure and pray about that, as we've just been saying. And I hope you'll add it to your prayers too. If we want this to happen, it must have the blessing of God. If you want to talk to somebody or pray with somebody about whatever's going on with you or about your attitude or your participation in this vision, we'll have some of our shepherds and their wives at the back. You can catch them right now while we stand and sing.